You're born in
September.
September 26th, 1898.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to tell me something about your parents, who your what their names were?
My mother's name is Jewish. It's Chai Shori. In English, it's Adele Shirley. Chai Shori. Chai is Adele. You know what Chai means? Her life. That was given her name when she was sick. But her real name is Sarah. So Sarah in Jewish. But they gave her, they call her the rabbi, whoever the head in the synagogue, used to give her an extra name, Chai. Chai means life. You understand? So they gave her an extra name in her name, so her Jewish name was Chai Sora.
Sora?
Sora.
Is that
Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Chai. What's her last name?
Bodni. B-O-D. B-O-D-N-E-Y, I think. That's the way they would spell Bodney.
Okay.
Her father's name was Chaim. Her mother's name was Chirita. That's my grandmother. And I knew my grandmother, but I don't know my grandfather.
Okay, what about your father's name?
My father's name was Avram Aaron. That means Abraham, Aaron, whatever you call. That's translated from Jewish to English. See?
And his last name is Kaplan?
Kaplan. Kaplun. K-A-P-L-U-N. But in this country, they change it to Kaplan. Yeah.
Okay, and what did your father do?
He was like a carpenter. But he used to make designs, all kind of things, like a carpenter. You know, in your country they used to call him a storier. That means he's a carpenter. But he used to do all kinds of things, like for schools he used to make those benches. Mm-hmm. For dining room he used to make tables, all kinds of chairs. He used to design all by himself, by hand. You see, he was not very educated. The only thing he knew was Hebrew. No, Jewish. Hebrew and Jewish, both.
And Russian?
Russian, yeah. He used to speak Russian to all the people, and he was working. Then after I was born, I remember I was little, he used to work in the hospital to fix all the materials that they needed for beds and tables and chairs, you know, like they fix up in the hospitals. And then when I got older, they sent me to Hebrew school. I went myself to Hebrew school to at least to learn how to read and write Hebrew, Jewish. I could write Jewish now good well too.
But, how old were you then?
Oh, well, I think I was about 7 years old.
Did you have any schooling before then?
No, there's no. In Russia, the Jewish people used to start to send their children when they were 9 years old. See? And I went to school until I was 11. Maybe 11 or something. And then I went for about 2 years. I didn't finish Russian school because I wasn't very studious, you know. So my older sister, she graduated over there. But I was kind of lazy, I don't know.
I don't understand. Yeah. Did you go to the Russian school?
Yeah, Russian school. I went to the Hebrew first when I was younger than that. I think I told you. But then I went to, when I was 11 years old, I went to school, I think I was 8 or 9 years old. And I went for 2 years. Then I was about 11 years old. I was learning how to do sewing. you know.
Who taught you that?
Some lady I was working for nothing. I didn't get paid.
Uh-huh.
I just learned the trade to work.
Privately, like a private.
No, she was like a dressmaker, but she used to hire children, and they'd work for her, you know, clean up things, sweep up, and all that stuff. I worked for her till about 2 years. Then I went to work like a dressmaking shop. You know, they used to make dresses and blouses, whatever it was, but I didn't stay long. Then my father had a sister in a small town about, it would be like here in America, like 20 miles, you know. In the Russian, they call the verst is a mile. And I stayed there for a while. And that was I stayed there for about 6 or 8 months. That was my father's sister. And she paid sometimes 3 Russian rubles, like it's here a dollar. Until my mother was in March, and my brother, older than I am, he was a year and a half older than I am, so he came to the small town, and he said, in Jewish, I called my Jewish name, Bunimashi. In English, they named me Maui. And he said, you better come home with me because mother was sick. She didn't know what was wrong with her. So she was sick. Then she found out, she went to the doctor and he said that she should go to a hot bath house and take a hot bath because we didn't have no running water in where we lived years ago. There was no style like that. You know, only some of the rich people had it. So then she came back and then my brother tells me that mother is going to have a child. That was her 12th child.
12?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Now we both six of each. Six brothers and six sisters. But in the meantime, my older brother, he was going to school little, and he went to go to school, but he was learning the trade to be a carpenter, you know. So then he decided, my mother had a brother in Chicago. Her brother is a dressmaker. My brother corresponded with them, and they sent him a ticket to come to America. In July the 18th, he was 17 years old. I forgot to mention, maybe I should have mentioned, when we were smaller kids, we had like here, they call it some kind of a disease. It was contagious. So out of the 12 of us, only 10 were sick 5 times. One time, 3, 4 got sick, and then 4 of us got sick. And we had my mother had a doctor, was a cousin of hers, so he helped. So we all got well, and everything was fine. And we lived in an apartment. Goldie,
yeah.
She's going to close the door for a while. No, it's all right. You have to tell her. Maybe she's... Goldie! Wait, so when my brother decided to go away, and he was going around with a girl that his wife, later on, he married. And he came from the same town where we came, you know. So he got engaged to her, and he was 17 years old in July. And they got engaged, and after the Jewish holidays, he tells us he's going to America. that's my older brother.
What was his name?
In English, his name was Harry. And he told my father and mother, so he's leaving for America. So my father says, all right. Then he was 17 years old that time. So then I have an older sister, Fanny, younger than him. She lives in Chicago. So she was supposed to go in 1912. Somehow they kind of found out that something was wrong with her eyes, and she got a cold or whatever it is, so they sent her back. But in 1912, the end of 1912, she said that she was going to go to America, and she gained a government passport. You know what I mean? You have to have a passport to pass the border, like that. So she arrived in America, was in 1912, and she stayed with my brother. And then in 1913, my brother and her bought two separate tickets for me and my brother. The one is
Meyer,
that's right. And we started out, I think it was about, later in June. My younger sister was just about 3 months old. So we decided to go to America, my brother and I. So that time my brother was just about ready to go for service. And then I couldn't obtain a government passport.
How come?
Because in the old country was the rules that your son should be, it could be a month after the 19th, he was ready to register for military service. And he didn't. So they'd have to pay a fine. So my father gained some papers. In this country they call it like the city hall. And he obtained a government passport. Not a government, just a like a city, like you get a birth certificate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brother, because we're both, my father gave us, and they arranged, my sister and brother arranged with an agent that we should come and go to on the train in Russia. And then my father took us up to Dvinsk, that's the name of a town in Russia. And we get off, and we took the train, and we went to, they call it like Litvia. You know, the name was the tablet, Litvia. And there we stopped over there, and an agent met us, and he kept us undercover, say, for about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to cross the border without noticing anything. So he took us across the border. See, we were young kids. And he took us across the border.
How old were you?
I must have been, not quite, Peter, 13 minutes. Closer to 14, something like that. Or maybe 15, I can't recall exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So they took us across the border and we went to Germany. I forgot the name of where the German place was. So we stayed in Germany for about a day and a half. And then they put us on the train, me and my brother, Meyer and I. And we stopped over in Germany. We went to Germany, then we stopped off to Bremen. You know, Germany, that's Bremen they call it, yeah. And really, whatever the agent sent us, we went. But towards the end, we were kind of out of money. And I was kind of mad, and I started to cry. And he says, my child, Jewish, he says, what are you crying? So I told him, my father gave me a string, mother gave me a string of pearls, and my brother had a nice watch, and I had a ring. So I says, we don't have much money. So he says, so the agent took away my pearls, and he took my brother's watch and ring, and then he says, you know, I want 50 rubles more. I said, well, I haven't got it, and I can't send home, because I'll miss the boat, because I have to go to Bremen, see? So then, so anyhow, we stayed we went to Bremen. Then the agent says, all right, you go to Bremen. So I came to Bremen, and, he said before, I started to cry, you know. So he says, what are you crying? So I told him. So there was a very nice Jewish man. He came up to me and he said, don't cry, my child. I'm Jewish, you know. He said, don't worry. I will see that you go over because you're going to miss the boat. Then you have to wait, you know. So I said, all right. I'm Jewish. I said, all right. So we waited and it took him about 15, maybe 20 minutes or half an hour. And he brought me the 50 rubles. So instead to give me so I gave the agent the 50 rubles so we can go to Bremen. So we got on the train and we came to Bremen. We stayed in Bremen about 4 days. And they fed us, you know, this and that, and we stayed there. Then they came and they said we should get on the boat. And he said, you go on the boat. So we waited and we got on the boat in Bremen, Germany. And he said to, we went on the boat. So my brother, for a while, we got seasick, you know. It happens sometimes on the big ocean, you know. So he got kind of sick in the barracks where he was laying, and women were not allowed to go in there. Ours was on this side and the men's were on the other side. Ours was on the right and the men's were on the left when you get into the boat. Well, my brother was sick for about 3 days and I couldn't see him. So one of the attendants said to me, don't worry, we're taking care of your brother. But we can't go in to see him, but he's all right, he's much better. So it took him about 3 days, 4 days, and then he felt much better because he was seasick all the time. So then my brother came up and I was happy to see him. And then we were, like kids, we met some friends and we started talking to each other. And then we became good friends. So we were on the boat. I think about we traveled third class because he couldn't afford it to go first class. So he went on the deck and we used to talk and sing, and I slept with the girl's side and he was with the man's side, you know, so on. So we were traveling about 13 days on the ship. We couldn't go to see sometimes we'd sneak in and go into the higher class and watch the people see, you know how children are curious. So that everything happened in 1913, everything happened in the same time. So And finally, he arrived from the boat. He came to the college, and he is Jewish. What do you call that? Ellis Island. It's like, you know, Ellis means it's a city that not belongs to in between. So we stayed there in Ellis Island about 6 days because we had to have $25 a piece in gold for them to show that we have money. So by the time the reason we stayed there, because my father's brother, he was supposed to take us off, but the authorities told him that we're too young and they're not going to let us off. So I said to my uncle, because I spoke in Jewish to him, I recognized him because I remember when I was maybe about 6 years old when he snuck away to go to America, because that time was a war in 1904 or 05, something like that. I don't remember if I was 6 or 7 years old, something like that. I don't know exactly.
You don't know what the war was?
I don't know what war it was. No, he was supposed to go here for military service. But there was a war going on, but I don't know where or what. I don't remember that. So my mother gave him, my father made him like a suitcase, in a box. And I remember my mother gave him a pillow and some clothes, underwear, whatever it was. And they hired like here in a taxi cab, but that time there was no taxi cabs on horses. So they hired them and they took them to the depot. See, I remember that time. And I was a young girl.
Was he leaving to escape the military?
Yeah. He didn't want to stay in the military. Everything had to be done on secret ways, you know. So my father arranged that he should go to the depot, and he must have had money or something, and he went to America. And then we heard from him for a while. Then he stopped writing. And then I remember him, because when he came over to take us off in that after we get off from the boat in the Ellis Island, we call it. So they said, those two kids, we can't let them off, because they have to go straight to Chicago. So I said to my uncle, I'll tell you what, in Jewish, you know, I said, you give me $5. In Russian, it's rubles, you know. So he gave us $5, American money, because over there they spoke English already, but I couldn't understand it. So then we got on. Then they called you for an examination. They used to examine you, you know, strictly, halfway. And they'd look into your hair and this and that, if everything was clean. I said, okay. So then I took and I sent a telegram to my brother to Chicago that he should send us $50. I had to show them $25 a piece, because when you go to America, you have to support yourself when you come in, because we were kids, you know. And my father and mother were not with us, because we were just the young kids. So he went and he gave me $5, and then they called me to the desk. My name in Jewish was Buni Mashi Kapun. And there was another woman, Buni Mashi. I don't know how she got the name. I never know. But we were mixed. So finally, the next day, they called me again, and I came over there, and I showed him that they sent to my brother for money. He said, whenever I get the money, then I'll give it to you, and then you can put you on the train, and you'll go to Chicago. I said, all right. You know, in Russian, in Jewish, I said it. So that's what we did. So we had the $5 a piece, $5, you know, kind of thing. So we had a shopping bag, and then we bought food to travel on the train to Chicago. You know, like the train wasn't like it's now. And all the friends went with us because we got acquainted on the sheep and all of that. And so we were kids, we were happy, we were singing. And the eight we found in the shopping bag was bread, salami, sardines, all kind of, I don't know, I don't even remember what it was. And I took one shopping bag, the other one, and my brother took one shopping bag. So for $4, and this was American money, I guess, and we came to Chicago. We went on the Santa Fe train in Chicago. The depot was Polk Street Depot. And that train stopped over there. So then my brother came, met us at the station, you know, and he said, okay, that time my brother couldn't afford to have a car. So he put us on the streetcar. I think the 16th Street car that time, because Polk Street Depot wasn't too far off there. So we walked up, and he took us on the streetcar, and he took us to his house. And that happened in 1913, in July. I landed July the 20, I think it was July the 28th, 1913. And that year, when my older sister arrived 6 months before I did, so while she was in Chicago, she saw the inauguration of President Woodrow Wilson. Was elected in 1912, but you know, when they inaugurated the president was 1913. So I remember President Wilson when he was president. Yeah, see. And so I remember he was all right. Then I was staying with my brother for a couple of weeks. Then he says, would you want to go to school? I said, no. I said, I'd rather go to work. And I said, I want to be on my own. So I paid him off. My brother and I, we paid him off for the tickets because they invested. They bought tickets and they had to pay. So I used to give him whatever it was. At the time I worked for Hart Chapman, my sister took me over there. And I got a job, and they were starting to show me how to do. I used to do very good by hand. So they started me up to, I stitched around the sleeves, and then they showed me something else. And while I was there, about 6 months, I was making, I think, was, I started night school. I went to, there's a school not far from where he used to live. He used to live on Averson 15. And I started to go to night school to pick up the language, which I really started pretty good. I used to know how to read Russian good and everything else. But I didn't care to go to the Russian school, so I didn't want to bother with it. So I started at night school. And then my brother, he met a partner and he built a house in Chicago on Rice Street, near Rockwell, that's the name of the street. Only him and his partner. And then her brother came into this country. So he moved in with them. So my sister and I, we decided that we're going to stay. Some of my sister's friends got us a room, a woman. She lived on Levitt, near Walt 921 North Levitt Street in Chicago. And we moved in there. And I lived there, so my older sister and I lived there, and I was working at Hart Chapman for a while.
What was that place where you worked?
On Polk Street and and near Harrison.
No, what kind of a place was it? A manufacturing?
Yes, a manufacturing. Yeah, Hachef Mamash. They make men's clothes. You know, coats, only coats. This was a special place for coats. Yeah. And I had a nice foreman, and he liked me. And I did nice handwork. That's one thing I used to do, very good handwork. And he teaches me this and this and that. And then I begged him, I said, Mr. Sepkin was his name, Jewish. I said, I wish you would learn me how to sew on the special machines, because I could have made more money. And she said, no, Molly, he said, you're too good of a hand girl than a machine. All right, you don't make so much, but you're learning. So, all right. My older sister used to work for Hachef Mamash too, but downtown in Chicago. And she was working on the special machines. But she felt the lining, you know, you put sew it, and the colors, whatever. And I used to do mostly all by hand. So, all right, so my sister was working, but she was making fairly. And life went on, she was making more and more, see. Then when I got to be a little older, oh yeah, they made me, I forgot to mention, I had to join the Amalgamated Clothing Workers, a union. So I had to pay in $1.50, an initiation, whatever you call it. And then I had to pay every month so much, I think it was years ago, I think it was $50 or $1 a month to pay dues. So I was a union girl. And as long as I worked for Hachef Mamash, so little by little he taught me all kinds of handwork to do. I used to take the canvas of the coat, I used to baste them, and I used to baste the collars and the armholes, everything by hand. I used to be in, like they called, used to call it armhole baster. You know. Then he teach me, he said, can you do some finishing? I said, yes. Then he taught me how to finish the sleeve linings and baste together. So he was teaching me all kind of handwork. And then he was showing me how to, you baste up the canvas, lay it down, you know, inside, and then you baste the coat from the top. I used to do that. Then I used to fell the lapels by hand, everything, put them together. Then later on he says, I'm going to make you to put collars up. So little by little, then I worked there, I think it was about, I was there about 6 years.
What was the working conditions like?
Well, I was working at the beginning. I was working. They paid me. You see, if you didn't make it, if you produced work less than $6, they pay you $6. But if you produced more, then I started to work piecework. Then I became an armhole baster. I used to baste the whole armhole and the linings and the collar and the top collar. Everything based up, you put it together. And then the finisher, there was another hand, just to finish the everything. Finally he says, why don't you become a finisher? I said, all right, just show me how. So as I was working, I was making all on the average of $15, $16 a week as I went along every time of year. I used to work piecework.
How many hours a day did you work?
Well, I used to come in and used to work, Saturday we worked a half a day. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We used to work 5.5 days, because Saturday afternoon and Sunday we were off, see. So we worked. So I worked there for a while, then I became chair lady over my section, but I worked, see.
What did that involve?
Well, I used to see that the women should do their work right, And if they have any complaints, we have a chairman, you know, to take all the public complaints. So if anything that was wrong, I used to tell the chairman, see, and the chairman used to protect all their health. And I was, first I was, there were two Jewish girls, and there was a table mixed by Italian and Polish people, but there were two Jewish girls. In fact, while I was working there, I learned how to understand a little bit Italian, a little bit Polish, and this and that. And we were happy, we were kids, and we used to sing together as we went along. And one day, I was 17, I quit, and my sister got married in 1918. So I went over, and he knew a friend, and then they started to pay me 22.50 a week. So I worked for a while. So they were organized, but the people that worked there, sometimes they didn't care what it was, you know. So they found out that I was very strongly for the union. So then they were moving out in a different town. So he found out the man that owned the shop. He moved to a small town somewhere in Wisconsin, I don't remember. And then I got a job someplace else, and I was working, and I was a color baster and everything, fine. So then I met one of my brother-in-law's friends. He owned a shop, a coat shop. He said, so I applied for a job, because when they found out I was a strong union girl, so they weren't satisfied, they were afraid.
What were they afraid of?
Well, because the union, as I was cheerlead, cheerlead in that section, they were afraid, and the union wanted me to go so I could organize the others, because they didn't want my union help, you know, the other manufacturers. So I said, well, if you don't want it, so don't. So I said, I looked around, and I was recommended. Then I met a shop, because I knew the one man, his name was Willie. And I said, do you need somebody to work there? He said, sure. So they gave me a job, not piecework, just to work, and they paid me $32.50 a week, because I was already a good sewer, you know. So they hired me to paste the armor, or not, I should put the top collars up, you know. So each one worked their own section, they used to have like that. So I worked there for a couple of years. So he hired a couple of girls. They were, you know, I talked to them, they should join the union. No, that. So he says, no. He says, no. No is no. You know, the girls, they were afraid. So they start to pick on me. So I said, you know what? Do what you want. I said, no, I'm quitting. So they fired me. So I went over to another job, and on the other job was working my late husband's aunt. And I said to her, Becky, I knew Becky, you see. I said, do you think I can get a job to do by hand? I said, I'm a good animal baster, I'm a good fella, sleeves, sewing, everything. And I used to put on the top collars, on the top of the collar, everything. So they hired me, and they gave me a job, and they paid me $32.50, see? And I worked there for a while. And I worked there, it was fine. So there was one, I don't know what she was, Polish or Russian, I don't remember. So I said to her, why do you be so foolish? I said, you know, you're a good sewer, don't you think? So the foreman got angry at me, and he told me he doesn't want me anymore. He started to release me. I said, look, excuse my expression, I mentioned something, I don't want to say it. And he said, Maui, he said, you're too smart for yourself, you're fired. He fired me. So I said, all right, I don't care, I'll get a job. So I went and I got another job, and I was working, and I made, I think, was $35 a week that time, you know, years ago. And as I was going along, the First World War broke out in 1914, you know. So all around, I didn't get much reply from my parents, and I didn't know what became of them.
So, how many different jobs did you have within this year?
In that year, I only had, let's see, all around I started, let's see, about four jobs.
In 1 year?
No. When I quit Hartje Avenue Max, the reason I quit later on, I got the Spanish influenza. That time was going around, the Spanish flu, and I was in the hospital. I was like quarantined for a bad cold, and I was in the hospital. At that time, the war was going on, see? So I went to, it was 1918, that's right. So I was in the hospital, and the war was going on, and all around. And of course, while I was working, I went to school. I used to go every night to Tule High School at night. And I learned the language, I learned spelling, I was very good at spelling, and I expressed my language very good. Because when I was about 6 months in this country, I could understand a lot of words in English. I even tried to talk English. You understand? He said, you're a smart girl, you picked it up right away. And I was very good at spelling. And every time I spelled, I used to get 100. That, see, and this all around I went for in school 5 years. The main thing I wanted to do is read and write and learn the language. That was my one ambition, see, and I took that up, see, and I was going to school over 5 years, approximately something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I went around with some fellas and here and there. And I knew my late husband about 6 years before I married him. I knew them. I knew his mother, and I knew his father, and I knew my sister was a Lizzie now too, because she was his aunt too. So her, I met his family. And we enjoyed together all around, see?
Okay.
And then after I quit there, I tried to get a job in 1922. So I didn't want to work for $15 a week, so I went, and I stayed, lived with my sister. My sister didn't take anything from me. She said, if you can get a job, and I didn't want to work for cheap money, although I had a couple of $100 saved up already. You know, and I used to buy my own clothes, everything. My sister, always, at the beginning, my sister used to make clothes for me. And that's how it happened. And then my husband said, if you can, the time I would start to go with my husband, he said, if you can go, if you don't want it, you can get me a job, and if you don't want it, if your sister don't care. I said, well, I'd like to give her something. So my sister said, don't worry. And I got engaged to my husband, and we decided. In the meantime, we got a letter from my folks, from your country. I hadn't heard from them all the years, that they were coming. And that was happening. We got the letter in 1921. And then we wrote to them in Jewish, and they answered us that they wanted to come. So my brother and my sister got together somehow, and they got wrote them an invitation with tickets to South.